Discourse on Unlike Any Other Government by Gary Hunt, Outpost of Freedom. Episode 3, Sacrifices Betrayed. Violations of the Constitution. During the course of the history of the United States of America, operating under the authority of the Constitution, there have been many violations of the Constitution and unlawful usurpations of authority which were not granted by the Constitution. During its first 70 years or so, there were no direct violations of the Constitution, though some events may appear to be such. Instead, it was a fine-tuning of those just over 4,000 words to establish intent, where such detail was omitted in the original writing of the document. Though not intended to list all such violations after that time, some significant ones will be addressed here. West Virginia. Article 4, Section 3 of the Constitution provides that new states may be admitted to by the Congress into this Union, but no new state shall be formed or erected within the jurisdiction of any other state, or any state formed by the junction of two or more states or parts of states, without the consent of the legislature of the states concerned, as well as of the Congress. Virginia seceded from the Union on April 17, 1861. West Virginia was comprised of lands within the existing state of Virginia. It was made a state by the Congress on June 20, 1863. The legislature of Virginia never gave consent as required by the Constitution. Lincoln, as president, and in his proclaimed desire to uphold the Constitution and retain the Union, allowed the Congress to circumvent the Constitution in order to provide a constitutional quorum in the legislature. A bit of a contradiction, which was never resolved by obtaining the consent of Virginia even after the Civil War was concluded. Taking this point a little further, let's see if we can put a more interesting perspective on the hypocrisy of this action. Article 4, Section 3 clearly doesn't allow a portion of one state or more states to secede from its parent state without the consent of the legislature of the parent state. A prohibition against secession without consent. However, the Congress and the President did allow West Virginia to secede from Virginia in violation of that specific provision in the Constitution. There is not, however, a provision in the Constitution that prohibits a state from seceding from the Union, which would be the parent state. It is the epitome of hypocrisy to ignore or abrogate responsibility, a specific provision in the Constitution, while twisting and torturing the Constitution to justify using force to retain that which was never stated, that the Union was perpetual, as the Articles of Confederation did. The 14th Amendment. The Congress proposed the 14th Amendment to the Constitution on June 13, 1866. The ratification of 3/4 of the states, or 28 of the then 37 states, by states is as follows. Connecticut, June 25, 1866. New Hampshire, July 6, 1866. Tennessee, July 19, 1866. New Jersey, September 11, 1866. New Jersey subsequently withdrew their ratification of the 14th Amendment, however, that was not recognized by the government. Oregon, September 19, 1866. Vermont, October 30, 1866. Ohio, January 4, 1867. Ohio, too, eventually rescinded their ratification of the Constitution, however, that rescission was not recognized by the government. New York, January 10, 1867. Kansas, January 11, 1867. Illinois, January 15, 1867. West Virginia, January 16, 1867. Michigan, January 16, 1867. Minnesota, January 16, 1867. Maine, January 19, 1867. Nevada, January 22, 1867. Indiana, January 23, 1867. Missouri, January 25, 1867. Rhode Island, February 7, 1867. Wisconsin, February 7, 1867. Pennsylvania, February 12, 1867. Massachusetts, March 20, 1867. Nebraska, June 15, 1867. Iowa, March 16, 1868. Arkansas, April 6, 1868. Florida, June 9, 1868. North Carolina, July 4, 1868, after having rejected it in December of 1866. Louisiana, July 9, 1868, after having rejected it on February 6, 1867. And South Carolina, July 9, 1868, after having rejected it on December 20, 1866. This is the only time in our history where a state had rejected a ratification and was later allowed to withdraw that rejection. On the other hand, other states that had previously ratified were not allowed to withdraw their ratifications. This was a double standard intended to assure the ratification of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. The Constitution is clear on the ratification process. It can be submitted through the Congress or through a convention convened by the states. That if proposed amendments are submitted to the states for ratification and shall be valid to all intents and purposes in support of this Constitution, when ratified by the legislatures of 3/4 of the several states or by conventions in 3/4 thereof, as one or the other mode of ratification may be proposed by the Congress. It does not create a turkey shoot where second shots can be had in some instances. The state legislature or the state conventions, by 3/4 vote, determined if the amendment was ratified as part of the Constitution or not. Pressure was brought to bear on three states, and subjecting themselves to that pressure, they changed their vote. Two other states, absent pressure, a voluntary act, had second thoughts about the consequences of the amendment, chose to change their vote. The three were granted, the two were denied. Though the Constitution does not make clear whether a ratification can be retracted, or when rejected, whether that first decision can be changed, therefore we must look to common sense, and the common sense dictates that only one or the other can apply. Histories of ratifications prior to and subsequent to the 14th Amendment have not allowed the practice of change after the first choice. So, though not clear in the Constitution, history and common sense must prevail, and we must consider that what was done with the 14th Amendment to be as much a violation of the Constitution due to the double standard as was the creation of West Virginia as a state. The 14th Amendment was not ratified in accordance with the Constitution. The Federal Reserve. In 1913, the Congress enacted the Federal Reserve Act. Though there are many arguments respecting the unconstitutionality of the act, only one will be addressed here. By establishing the Federal Reserve Bank, a consequence of the Federal Reserve Act, the authority to coin money and regulate the value thereof was granted to a private entity. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5 provides that Congress has the power to coin money, regulate the value thereof, and of foreign coin, and fix the standards of weights and measures. It is clear that the Congress abrogated its responsibility under the Constitution to coin money by allowing a private entity to coin money and set and regulate its value by giving the Federal Reserve note the same value as gold and silver coin, and to remove the congressional responsibility and to pass it on to a private interest. Congress abrogated its responsibility under the Constitution, regardless of the arguments to the contrary. Common sense again dictates that the Constitution was violated. Gold removed. In 1917, Congress passed the Trading with the Enemy Act, which under conditions of war gave extraordinary powers to the president. World War I ended on November 11, 1918. On Sunday, March 5, 1933, Franklin Roosevelt called for Congress to convene an extra session on March 9, 1933, his Proclamation 2038. On the next day, he declared, by proclamation, a bank holiday which ran from Monday, March 6, through Thursday, March 9, inclusive. In the proclamation, he makes some rather interesting claims. He states that there have been heavy and unwarranted withdrawals of gold and currency for the purpose of hoarding, and this has resulted in a severe drain on the nation's stock of gold. And whereas these conditions have created a national emergency, he then goes on to refer to Section 5B of the Act of October 6, 1917, as amended, that the president may investigate, regulate, or prohibit under such rules and regulations as he may prescribe, by means of license or otherwise, any transaction in foreign exchange, and the export, hoarding, melting, or earmarkings of gold and silver, coin or bullion, or currency. Further, he said, "Now, therefore, I, Franklin D. Roosevelt, President of the United States of America, in view of the national emergency and by virtue of the authority vested in me by said act," and he declares the holiday. The national emergency that he spoke of was the extension of lending authority granted to the Federal Reserve Bank. That was the bank established by the Federal Reserve Act just 20 years before. The Federal Reserve Bank was unable to provide in gold the deposits on hand. The system of fractional banking had allowed them to extend credit well beyond the available value held in trust by the banks. This is the definition of bankrupt. Quote, "The state or condition of one who is unable to pay his debts as they are or become due." Close quote. And that's from Black's Law Dictionary, 5th edition. Article 1, Section 8, Clause 5 provides that Congress has the power to coin money, regulate the value thereof, and of foreign coin. In Article 1, Section 10, Clause 1 reads in part, "No state shall make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts." In 1933, Congress set the value of gold at $32 per ounce. Prior to that, it was $20 per ounce, yielding a return of an additional $12 or 60% in value to those that held gold certificates. Since that time, the value of gold has fluctuated based upon worldwide demand. The dollar at present, based upon the value established indirectly by the Federal Reserve Bank for the purchasing power, is over $1,000 per ounce. Clearly, Congress has given up its responsibility to regulate the value thereof and has removed it from the public, prohibiting the states from fulfilling their obligation under the Constitution. This ends episode 3.